Chaim, the way of life, that's all about day-to-day life. Shabbos, Yontif, how does Jew manage? Eben Ezer is about men and women, like all the laws of marriage and divorce, and everything which relates to these things. Koshmish was all about money. They're very focused, the other three. There's a problem. There are things which don't fit into any of these three. So what do you do with them all? So lock them together in one thing. That's what's called Yeridea. It's everything else but. You can't, there's one unifying theme to everything. So give you an example. The first part of Yeridea is all about kashrus. These things. Koshmish was all about money. They're very focused, the other three. There's a problem. There are things which don't fit into any of these three. So what do you do with them all? So lock them together in one thing. That's what's called Yeridea. It's everything else but. You can't, there's one unifying theme to everything. So give you an example. The first part of Yeridea is all about kashrus. The first part of our discussion, last term. Those who remember were here. There are a total of 402 chapters to this Yeridea. 402. That's a lot of chapters. The first day we got to 87, because we skipped most of the first 86. We discussed a little briefly, because it wasn't so relevant to us as people. Very relevant to us as consumers, how you slaughter an animal. Because none of us didn't have a shofet. No one knows what the trachea are all about, the holes in the lungs. We just made very, very brief references. If you think we started at 87, hey Zion, which is Bosa Bacala. That's relevant to every person who has a house in the kitchen. Meat, you can build. We spent a lot of time on that. Bosa Bacala, about Tarubis, kosher, not kosher, it's mixing together. Then we talk about all the, what I call the akums, the past akum, the official akum, and the Cholav Akum, and the Venus Akum, and the Shechar Akum, and Yayin Nesach. That's a whole topic. And once you talk already about Goyim, then it goes into what we call Avodah Zarah. That's what we spoke about at the end. And then somehow or other, Ribbis gets in here. Ribbis, where would Ribbis belong? What would you think it should belong where? In Moshe Mishpat. No. Why to here? So the Torah writes, is talking about the halacha of staying away from Goyim. So he starts off by talking about the fact that although the Torah permits you to lend money and collect interest from a non-Jew, but it's not a good idea to do it because you may come too friendly with him. And that's how it starts off. Starts it that way. So the Torah writes, once you're in talking about Ribbis, let the whole thing hang out. Others say that Ribbis belongs here because Ribbis is not a Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat means if two people have an argument. I break your window, you want to pay money, I want to open up a store in your store, I borrow my own pay back, I'm watching something that got lost. It's interpersonal. But Yeridea is what, but Ribbis rather is what we call, and I paraphrase the phrase from America, is between consenting adults. They will both agree that you're in Ribbis. I agree to pay interest, you agree to take interest, what can be bad? It's not bad. But Yeridea is bad. The Torah says it's no good. That's another reason why they say it's given and put in Yeridea.
Okay.
It's all, I just gave you a 3 minutes synopsis we spoke about for an entire semester. Basically, we just went from Pei Zion, which is 87, to Kupai and Zion, which is 177. So we covered those 90. Even now we skipped a lot of things. I mean, there's a limit how much you can do. So our mandate for this term is somehow to try to cover from 178, which is Kufayim Ches, till Tough Days, 402. You may ask, how in the world are we going to do this? Well, for my boys uptown, one of my favorite expressions is, the best way to cover ground is to skip. So we have to skip a lot of things here and there. We just can't do it. It's impossible. Yeah, we're talking 225 simanim. It's wacko. So we can't do it, but we're going to do whatever we can. So I'll have to make a triage in my mind of what's more important. And we'll skip certain things, do certain things. What do you want to know? A general idea? What are we going to be learning? An overview. Well, we start now with Chukas Akum. Onim, Chashay. So it's Kaka, that's kind of thing. Don't know Hilchos Nida. We're not going to go into depth into Hilchos Nida because it's not the place for it. But at the same time, it's a skip it with the criminal. It's already in, it's in the book. We'll give a very brief overview of Hilchos Nida since it's relevant. Vit Hashem for all of you. That and Hilchos Mikvos a little bit. A tiny bit about Hilchos Mikvos. That's the end of this volume. That's, that will not take us all that long. Next volume has many, many areas of halacha. I'm just off the top of my head. You have in there the laws of Nedarim and Shavuos, the laws of Kibbutz Avayim, the Kabbalah Torah, Talmud Torah. You have laws of Gerus, very important Gerus, Vismila, Pidyon HaBen, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah. You have all later on, you have all the mitzvahs of Tzuras Baretz, which is a kashrus part we really didn't talk about because it's about the beginning. And then it goes all the way till the end of about Ezra Avelus. That's a very big chunk at the end. So that's what we'll be talking about. If you want to drop now, be my guest. If you don't like the topics, that's what we'll be talking about. Any questions before we begin? Okay? The Siyata Dishmaya. Shulchan Aruch tells us in Chulfay and Ches, and Holkin Bakuko Sa'akr. The very first words that we learn are one is not permitted to go in the ways or in the statutes of Goyim. The Pasuk. Pasuk and Chumash. What are the examples should given by the Shulchan Aruch? Not to wear their special distinctive garments, not to go use their hairstyles, not to shave your the side of the head like they do. Not even to build, yes, not even to build shuls that look like churches. Can you imagine that? That's what all the shtidlach are up there, they're so small. Not, as we said, not to build a heichel like the goyim do, people can come in. It should be different from the goyim in your garments, all your actions. That's what it says. So it sounds like you can't breathe. The goyim breathe, right? The koch nefesh. That's the problem. I was once talking about the chumrah of Bnei Brak. Oh, Bnei Brak is a chumrah, you really can't breathe on Shabbos. Because you don't trust the Eruv and the air is going in and out. The Buddha took the koch nefesh. That was just called a joke. So, but seriously speaking, so what? I'm wearing a tie is a perfect example. Well, this makes no sense. I see them all wear a tie. It doesn't make sense. A shirt makes sense. A jacket makes sense. Pants and socks and shoes all make sense. What does this man want that? It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. It's crazy. No? What is this one? It's garbage. Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what it is. Here it is. So it should be chukas akol. The guy will wear a tie. So I wear a tie. It's not going to be a hat. I mean, this is serious. The Pesukim talk about it.
Where is
the same chumash? Uvachukosayam lo teilechu parshas achemos. And I believe in kedoshim. I believe in lo selchu uvachukos agoy. The pasuk is repeated twice in slightly different phraseology. So where do you draw the line? So the Ramah comes up with a wapakula. Woo, a wapakula. It's only prohibited if the goyim established this statute, this cloak, the shame creatures for the purpose of frivolity. That's reason number one. Or if they establish a choke without a reason. No expression is choke. Choke in a positive sense, like paraduma. So it's chukas atara. It means there's no reason. We don't know a reason. So chukas atara means there's no known reason for what they're doing. Mishigas. Reason we have to assume maybe it came from their Avodah Zarah. It came from their Avodah Zarah, it's really not allowed. But we don't see it's Avodah Zarah. Well, maybe this is what the Rabbah calls a Shemitz Avodah Shkachavim Be'Avodah Seyah. It doesn't make any sense. So maybe it's rooted in some kind of Avodah Zarah. But, for example, at a custom, every doctor should wear white, or every person who is an honorable person should wear a certain thing, that's okay. This is what the Maharik says. Maharik Yosef Kolomi, one of the great Gedolim, who was ultimately in Italy, he did that, I believe, in the 15th century, one of the great giants that I won't call to very frequently. This is the Maharik. The Vilna Gaon disagrees. The truth is, we always go by the later sources. The Machlokas, the Maharik, and the Vilna Gaon has been a Machlokas between the Rishonim, between the Ran, the Maharik quotes, and Tosfos, the Vilna Gaon quotes. We're back to the Rishonim. The Vilna Gaon says no. Even if it's not capricious, and there's no Avodah Zarah component, it's us or anywhere. Whenever there's no reason whatsoever, it's us. Coke. Coke. The Postus adds one little nuance. Dvarim shall have a shtus. Meaningless, silly, it's stupid. Then it's usher, even though it has nothing to do with creatures, not frivolous or leading to lewdness in any way, nor is it avodah zarah. Just a chok, no reason. Hevel ushtus, no reason. And certainly if it has avodah zarah connotations, everyone agrees it's so prohibited, and some too if it has frivolity connotations. Big dispute, if it's not in that category, is it considered chok akam, chukos akam? Let's think about it amongst ourselves. What about my tie? I have to rip it off in a second if you come out the wrong way. Well, what do you say about this tie?
What
about Maharik? I think it's okay, right? Maharik, in the back of the other half, what does it say? Woo! He's gone about first of all. There it is. To say Maharik. O-M. You know, Maharik, which is actually the sign. Because he says you're allowed to wear a tie. It's not about a czar. It's not about a czar. It's not about priestess in the country. It's an extra garment. It's the opposite of priestess. The more you wear, it's less priestess. So therefore, according to Maharik, you're allowed to wear a tie. What about according to Tosfos and the Gemara, you're allowed to wear a tie? Make any sense? Does it make sense? It's okay. Yeah?
Wouldn't it go under the category of things worn by, say, honorable people or something? Like,
oh, maybe that's it. Honorable people.
But isn't that only according to Maharik? But that's according to the
other. Honorable people, I believe, is, let's see. Hold on. Even the, that even the Kodotosis would be okay. Because it means, what is an expression? I'm a white collar worker. Look at that expression. Opposed to a blue collar. Usually the white collar means you wear a tie with a white collar. Blue collar means you don't wear a tie. That's what you normally assume. So white collar worker, that's considered a higher level. You usually get paid a higher salary. And so your employer is, I guess. But, it's a kind of a chashivas. You work with a tie, it gives you a certain importance. So I guess a tie would be much even according to, probably even according to the Vilna Gaon. So let's go. So assuming a tie is with us, so what else do we have chukos akam? What else do we have in our daily life with the shishas, yes?
What if, let's say, you know, like a lot of
shirts, like Swedish shirts that are made for Sikhs, and girls wear them on
That's right. The Mepharshim say that someone wears a garment, which is for priests and priestess, aside from being in violation of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, which we learned last year, this time, those who may have been there, it may be prohibited under Yerodea too. See, 2 years in a row, it's prohibited. Why? Because it's a chokak of the priestess. They say don't follow what they call the style, they call the mode. Mode was a sort of the Yiddish the mode that you should not follow the styles. The styles are made for, you know, to convey a certain sense of immodesty. And aside from the prohibition of Eben Ezra, it's also probably your day. It's chukosah.
Can you wear a jacket on top of it?
Yeah, I think that you're wearing a jacket on top of it, and it's obviously not, that would not be a chukosah. Yeah, I'm saying, let's see, people wear miniskirts. You know, miniskirts. The miniskirts is dictated in Paris, no? Is that where it comes from? One guy gets a clap. This year it's miniskirts. Next year it's maxi skirts. So they keep, you know, trying to make money. You change the same skirts every year, they go broke. Right? So they're called planned obsolescence. They're made to change in a year or two. So that's, if it's the maxi skirts, it's a book. That's not chukas agai. Maybe call it a girl, it's not chukas agai. But that's, we can be make with Ron Ari. But the mini skirts is chukas akum. Yeah? No, either Avodah Zarah or priests.
Or priests.
Right.
The
fact that
the priests are here. So then, why do we automatically
assume that anything
that's
going to survive
is
supposed to happen?
It's impossible to be, something
that's
quote unquote
right,
but that's something
that's going to happen. No, so according to the Ma'arik, you're right. Ma'arik said it's mutter. Ma'arik said if Stavachov, which has no real reason, but it's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah as far as we know, nothing to do with the priests as far as we know, so it's mutter in fact. The Gong's in the Tusser anyway. Why? He says, well, it makes no sense. So we have to perhaps be worried that maybe if this has something to do with you, unbeknownst to us, to Avodah Zarah at the priests, even though we don't really see it. Yes? Question?
Yes. Yeah. Who defines priests?
Who defines?
What?
I guess in every generation everyone has to define. I'll give you an example.
How do you know?
I'll give you an example. In my daughter's school, they said that a girl cannot come to school in a skirt which has a slit. It doesn't matter where the slit goes. In other words, it's the irony. If the skirt goes down to a certain point with no slit, it's okay. It goes down 4 inches more and the slit 3 inches up, so that whole skirt's, even in the place where it's slit is an extra inch down. Oh, sir. I just said it's crazy. This kavachomer should be good. More sleeves. But they feel that when it starts, like I'm saying, shot. The rebbe's the rebbe must hold that if you have a slit, you know, now this slit is over, okay. It'll be the next slit. The next, you know, she's kicking ahead. So they may feel that wearing a slit maybe chukas agoy. True, they don't mean slit down here. They know what kind of slit. Maybe they have a mind. Going up here. So they start with, like, you know, it's like a gazera. Yeah, next thing else, no, we don't always agree with the Rebbetzin. Okay, but you understand where she's coming from. Right? Many schools have that policy. Most of them, I don't care where it is. But they may view it as a chuppah sagoy. It still don't make sense, do they? It didn't happen until 5 years ago.
They make so much sense. It's one thing that does make sense. Sure. In a tight, straight skirt, how else are you going to walk?
You should wear a tight, straight skirt.
Not so tight, literally.
Makes sense, and I would do it, I guess it's not because I'm not. So that's a shabbat. That's why it's a shabbat. They're right. I guess it probably does make sense. Probably right. Okay, so I guess it depends how you look at it. Let's give you an example. Come on, give me more examples. Come on, more examples. You ever had a shiny light chukas agai? Never.
Bridesmaids. A lot of people say that's chukas agai. And that's why you should.
I'll tell you the truth. The whole. I'm sorry for all the collars that are here. But the whole wedding ceremony as we have it,
with,
you know, with the sitting down, with the formality, with the walking down the aisle, with the
a white dress.
It does not come from a holy source. You ever been in the wedding Eretz Yisrael? Yeah. My sister got out of Eretz Yisrael. Like a European style. And everybody came, and then the chassid of the parents came, and you know, the kallah of the parents came, and then we're just standing up and standing all around. The older people sat down, you know, the parents all around. A balagan. That's Minig Yisrael.
There's still white dress involved in that. Where'd that come from?
White dress is that's a holy sitting. The idea, the truth of this whole sitting down, is probably coming from the non-Jewish sources. Probably. What are you going to do? You're going to go to, you're going to, you can't fight City Hall. I can't mention to you last year probably, we're going to talk about weddings, and which way the Chassid Kala face. We were here last year. So I went to mention, or Hillel David told me that I was in the Sadiq Kedushin, and he said, which way are they going to face? He said, yeah, they're going to face. I don't care where they're going to face. Enough things they can fight about. There's one thing less. Whatever they face is good by me. Do you mind if they don't mind to face a certain way? Whatever you want, rather, whatever you want. I prefer that they chassid kala face the crowd. And the rabbi face is back to the crowd. I said, why? It's called for Rabbi Rabbi Butna, the chassid of the time of the Rabbi Butna said, how come it is that by the goyim, the priest faces the audience? And they see the movies. And then the bride and groom are facing front. Why? He said, because by the goyim, a wedding is a mass. It's a sacrament. It's a religious ceremony. And officially, it is the priest who marries them. He... He says, what? You are married. So since he's doing it, he faces the ground. Roof. You know, start a show. But by us, chas v'shalom. The chassid marries the kala. The Masada Kiddushin is just because in the case the chassid doesn't know how to say the bracha. In the case the chassid doesn't know how to give the ring. So he's just Masada Kiddushin. The chassid marries the kala. So therefore, the appropriate way is that the chassid and the kala should face the crowd. Okay, that's what we did at that time. I've heard another one to say that, but it sounds like a logical thing. He was worried about Chukas Akam. Even in this kind of, which way they face. He was concerned, and he's copying from the Goy. So Rabbanim are concerned about these things, because it's a Shemet and Avodah Zarah. Luke, come on, give me another example. Yeah? Yeah, that's not so much of Chanukah presence. You know that Chanukah falls out in December every year. Come on, let's get real. Chanukah Geld, that's a Mesorah. That's what the stones had in Europe. Guilt. Money. Look at the idea of presence. You put back the presents. Put them under the menorah. You know where that comes from. That's not really right. Again, I'm speaking, you know, I know some of these, I think they're Don Quixote and trying to fight. But yeah, I think there's something to say for that, yes?
Secular music?
No, secular music, I don't think it's good. We'll get to it. Maybe Christian music from the church. We spoke about it last year. That's a no-no. It handles Messiah, that kind of stuff. Forget about it. That's worse than Chukasak. That's about a Zohar Mamash. That's real. You mean rock and roll? That's worse than Chukasak. That's Hili Arayas Mamash. That's so explicit. That's terrible. I have other problems, yeah?
But what about when they take Goy's music and they put Jewish words to it?
See them say that a nigun is not mekabel tumah. That's how the rebbes would take the various bar songs they used to sing in the. I don't know love this from the bar song. The German sort of at a bar, you know. That's a nigun is not mekabel tumah. Nigun is, you know, a spiritual thing. It can't be tamid. But you're right, some of these things are so beat. At least the beat was okay. And when I was in high school, going back now, mid-60s, there was a hit song in there, you know, the hit parade then. I think it was called Blue. And it's still around, the oldies were goodies, they still kind of come around. It was a very slow and plaintive tune. Blue, blue. Very beautiful, haunting tune. And one of the words is humming over and over again, and the Rebbe, who was a European, said, Shalom, what is this tomb? Vegas, sing it to me. And he saw it, and the Rebbe loved it. He was singing, the guy was chuckling and giggling, and it was a hit parade and all the Niggas not a Kabbalah too. It really is. Lubavitch, I saw it, they're good, beautiful, they're good, they said they got a farmer, you know, and they heard it was Baal Shem Tov, or the farmer singing his tune. I'm sorry. But today, this beat. Primeval man, the caveman, the rock and roll, it's terrible. Someone told me from one of the Gedolim, said, it was a gift or something, I forgot to do, he said a pasuk, we have a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. I told you about Avinu and Abimelech, he told him to get out of here. Why? He said, rock ain yiras alokim b'mokam hazeh. He said, rock and roll, ain yiras alokim. The beat itself, even before you get to the words, it's just the antithesis of Yiras Shamayim. They go to these weddings, the frumest weddings. That was rocking and rolling, and I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You get married, if you agree with me, if it should be, you tell the band what you want to play, what you don't want to play. You're paying. You don't stop to tone it down a little bit. Nuts. Crazy. So loud. That's not super soccer. I mean, it is. It is loud, super soccer. The disco is loud. Who got other examples? That's it. Nobody? I'll play a very important shadow. Yes?
What about the clothing that Hasidim wear? Isn't the source of the
shrine
from the Goyim
because
they were in cold climates?
Some say Hasidim, when they wear different garbs, it's a big deal, different garbs. It's the same garb that the Polish nobleman wore 300 years ago. The Hasidic men will only go with the right on top of the left. Does that make sense? In our way, normal suit, buttons, a men's suit, left on top of right. In women's the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. Hasidim are like the women. They're right on top of the left. They're telling that. I always thought it's just lahatas, I care. Jewish men go this way, they go this way. And they tell me, no, his right is chesed, the left is gvura. I never thought you have to wear chesedish levush. If you're chesedish, you should wear chesedish levush. Whatever, however you wear, that's how you should go. But I have a different question. It's probably no one raised it. It was printed recently in one of those beautiful magazines, periodicals that come out to discuss halakhic topics in English. I think it's one of the Journal of Contemporary Halakhic Contemporary Society. Had a beautiful piece about, I gave it away. You know who knows? Someone read it there? Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving Chukos Akum. Turkey. Thanksgiving. That's Chukos Akum. There are much of the whole about it. Yes, no, maybe. If the mind body is not so simple, just go back to the historical foundation of Thanksgiving. Who introduced it? Who knows?
The pilgrims.
And the pilgrims believed in what? What was their religion? They were Christians, right? Still Christians. Right? They were not Catholics, they were Christians. Christians, even non-Catholic Christians, believe in a divine Jesus. Yeah. Maybe Unitarians don't. Unitarians are so far from anything that they wanted to make a merger with the Reformed Judaism. I'm not kidding. You know, no, just fell through the last minute. I'm not kidding. They're both so far from anything. It's just believing being a good person. So there was talk of a merger. But leave that Unitarian. But they're regular, normal, like Baptists or whatever they attended. Pilgrims or Puritans. They believe in the divine Jesus. And when they thanked their God in the fall harvest in November, they weren't just thanking our God, they were thanking also their God. So it's arguable that this idea of Turkey and Thanksgiving, and this should we call the Shemitz of Odazar, was a prophet. America became football, you know, with very few
I mean, people still go to church. It's not a special thing around it, but Neislav, we call it Shemitah Avodazar, Jewish source, this idea of Thanksgiving. So there's some Rabbanim who are very much against Thanksgiving. Moshe's Tshuva, it's very non-committal. I forgot, he has kind of strongly against it, or just sort of vacillates a bit. Not so simple. Remember, so the Beitchik thought it was mutter. So the Beitchik thought it was admirable. So the sign of American patriotism. You know, many of the great rabbis that came from Europe who saw what the governments were like there had a special feeling for the American government. Rav Moshe called it the Malchus HaChesed. Soloveitchik also had very warm accolades for America. We were born in America. We don't appreciate it. We never had to live under the repressive Russian regime or even the Polish regime. They were very lately anti-Semitic. As much as this, whatever we have here, it's so much better by comparison. So they said, look, let's be American. We'll have a little bit of Thanksgiving. But Rav Moshe wasn't sure. Maybe it's a Kukasakam question. It's an example. Just give a look at that beautiful journal of halacha and contemporary society. It's a lengthy discussion of whether it's permissible, prohibited, advisable. I'm not going to give you the final determination here. Suffice to say, it's a questionable thing. I don't agree that it's permissible. So if you're invited to a Thanksgiving turkey dinner, you have to go for shalom bayis, you have to go. So go. You have to work through a life on it. Many postums say Thanksgiving is not a violation of Chukas Hatzot. In my house, we have cottage cheese. Thursday night, it's too much. So that's mutter on Thanksgiving. But turkey, doesn't happen. They have what to rely upon. Was it a marik? Could it have been the goal? Certainly was. Was it a marik? It's possibly mutter. Unless you consider it to be a kovach to the Shemitah of Avodah Zarah. That's not so clear. When you do the history, it's not so simple. Not simple at all. Okay. So this is, therefore, Siman Kuf Ayin Ches. The halacha of Chukos Akum. I'll tell you another thing. When I was graduating from high school, that same year as Blue, so there was an issue, are we allowed to wear caps and gowns? An RJJ in the Lower East Side, Bokhara, didn't want to wear caps and gowns. So let's go to Rav Moshe. Around the corner was Rav Moshe, the corner of the MCJ. Rebbe, allowed to wear caps and gowns. So Rav Moshe, what's caps and gowns? He's a page of the picture. He knew what it was. Probably it's what. Why is it what? Chashivas. Like I said before, I think that's Chashivas. Ties chashivas, the caps and gowns, these are chashivas. That's an assumption that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. I don't think it does, historically. I mean, we'll turn paper. Is there a connection between caps and gowns and Avodah Zarah? There would be a different problem. I just don't think there is any. This therefore Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, opening Siman for this term, who goes up? Now we go to Kuf Ayin Ches. Yes?
What about going to shows?
Shows? Broadway shows? It's not Kukos Ak. It's a different problem. Post can talk about Bote Teatros and its stadionim. The Gemara says you shouldn't go to theaters and stadiums. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. Is that quoted in Shulchan Aruch? Let me see. Is it or is it not? I don't know. Maybe it's not quoted in Sanhedrin in Shulchan Aruch. It should have been here, anyway. I still think of that really as primary reference. The olden days. But they used to have gladiators, bullfighters, thumbs up, thumbs down. They actually would kill people for sport. That's the stadion. I mean, the word stadium is obviously comes from the stadion. It's Yankee Stadium. The Yankees would get killed by the White Sox, but they don't mean they don't kill it. They just beat them. But that's not. You could arguable that football maybe in that category. Crush it. Or hockey. Or boxing, you can argue, is comparable to the old Itadion. But don't go to boxing. And football, and hockey. But baseball, they don't do anything there. That should be all right. Basketball, officially a non-contact sport. That also should be okay. Yeah.
Shouldn't all sports kind of be under Chukas Akum because of the Shem Priestess? I mean, They don't have a goal. It's frivolity. It's frivolity at its... Any game should really be Kukasaka.
No. So you have people who are excel at certain athletic skills. Michael Jordan, you know, that put the ball into a basket better than anybody else on this planet. So people are thrilled to watch this guy do what he does best.
So isn't...
He's not pushing somebody else.
So what's the difference between being thrilled and being frivolous? Is, I guess, what I'm saying.
I mean, the answer is just specific talent. He's able to do something. Like, we're going to hear a singer. A singer has a very nice voice. We're going to hear it. That's not cool.
So what's frivolous?
Is a statue. It's not a statue at all. The question didn't begin. Her question was about the theaters. Yeah, I think it's a practice set, but I don't have the memory. I can't look it up.
So a hairstyle isn't a hoax. It's a hairstyle.
Hairstyle is kind of sweeps the country, which makes no sense. This makes more sense than hairstyle, if you ask me.
Different people.
All right. Whatever. That's my opinion. Okay, let's go on. Simon Kufay and Tess. Lo lechashe, lo one, lo nachesh. The whole psukim mechumish. Maybe vayikra. You're not supposed to ask stars, stargazers, or consult lotteries to know what the future will bring. Palm readers, crystal balls, all this stuff. Your, what do you call it? Your
horoscope.
That's the word. Daily news. You're not supposed to do all this. What? That's a pasuk.
Tom, Tia, Im, Hashem, Elokim.
Tom, in this case, means a little bit naive. No one should be naive with respect to another human being. With respect to Hashem, a person should be naive. Not should try to figure everything out. Some of the sick, is he allowed to go to these faith healers? Some say yes, some say no. Some say, well, it's our own property or the faith healer. Some say he's never gone. Big machlok. Some of them believe they're sick if he doesn't share. Makubala. Well, I have to be careful not to speak out of turn. But it seems to me that I can fairly say that Kabbalah has been abused in our society. Now, a new book called Kabbalah for the Layman. Have you ever? You walk into an ad and they try to sell it to you. You ever see it? I'm serious. They come over to you, they see you're Jewish, you're big. A big briefcase to get out of prospectus, Kabbalah for the layman. You buy 18 volume set for $6, and it's going to go to one of the shiurs of Kabbalah. May I suggest to you, you stay far away. Kabbalah is something which, although in theory, is the highest level of learning Torah, the highest level, we don't know how to approach it. The Gemara tells us, and that's what the Golden Gong quoted. We'll come to it later in Yerodea, Reish Merubov, I believe. That the Kabbalah is the highest level, even higher than Gemara, higher than anything else. But nevertheless, so I'll tell you a story that we were discussing in the past sukkah, someone was telling me. Someone asked the Chazon Ish, the Gadol Hador, his brother, his stipler, asked the Chazon Ish, how come we don't learn Kabbalah? And all day and all night, Gemara, more Gemara, Shabbanara, Chumash, Shnayas, not Kabbalah. The Gemara says Kabbalah is a great thing to do. How can I learn Kabbalah? Already over 40? How can I learn Kabbalah? So the Chazanish replies, the plot, I can't. I'd love to learn Kabbalah, but I can't. I'm honest. It's not my fault. Why? I don't have a Rebbe. I don't have a Rebbe. Gemara, I have a Rebbe. I little Rebbe, but sorry, Kabbalah, I know the sorrow. I can't learn. What about the Vilna Gaon? Can the Vilna Gaon learn Kabbalah? So the supposed response was, what? Eliyahu HaNavi is a bad rabbi? Rebbe. Yonah appeared to the Vilna Gaon, so alright, so he had a Rebbe. But since you have no Rebbe, well, that story took place, what it means, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm saying Kabbalah is not something that we should be, generally speaking, about Gaon. They raise the Kabbalah, they give you brachas, they count, they read your palms, they read all kinds of things. They read your handwriting, your palms, or this, or that. I must say, my personal feeling is that this is not something which, generally speaking, a person can about. Now, people who are have a problem, somebody got to be Kabbalah. Some have no children, they want to be Kabbalah. There's a Shidduch, they want to be Kabbalah. Someone is very, very sick, wants to be Kabbalah. That's a little strange, you know, so we don't call them normal. With a crisis, wants to be Kabbalah. I don't know. Feel the situation is so bad, it can't get worse. Let's go to the Makum. Maybe it'll get us out of this. I can't speak for you. I know I never went to a Makum. I once got a big bracha from a tremendous, tremendous person. His name was Rav Moshe Feinstein. He went to the Makum. He didn't come along. I don't know what he did, but he gave me a strange bracha, not the Taurus Makum. The bracha was fulfilled. I heard a story this week, just 2 days ago. Incredible story. Rav Moshe gave someone a bracha. I heard this yesterday morning. Pillay Ply. The bracha was fulfilled in literally in a supernatural way. We believe that the tzaddikei hador have tremendous, tremendous power when they give brachas. The kubbalim, on the other hand, they have a kubbalim who have been known to give brachas and they work. The kubbalim, or I don't know, they have some kind of a special question you want to do. Do you want to have mofsin? Someone told me a story this Friday night. This Friday I heard the following story. That there was a great Rav. This Rav was around our place for Shabbos. And he had, unfortunately, had no children. And he lived near the famous Baba Sali. Remember Baba Sali? And Yisrael Abu Chatzera. This was... Talk about the Kabbalah. He didn't come any higher than that. He was a top. So, one day, Baba Sali walked into the Beis Medrash with his Rav and says, Ploni, I can give you a bracha, you'll have a child. Imagine a child has been for years and years and years. So the Rav responded back, unbelievable story. Do you mean the koyach ha-tefillah? Or do you mean with mofsin? So you gotta be honest, he responded with mofsin. That means naturally, could naturally. But a mofis. And he said, I don't want to see the college brothership should perform a bifus because of me. Can you imagine that? Here he has an opportunity, that's good. The whole story is an incredible story.
It's good Moshe Rabbeinu
for the likes. Well, I'm just telling you, it's an unbelievable story. People don't want to have mofsin. Not every broth is mofsin. The Gemara says, the Litmus Gemara says, that if someone is sick, you got to go to the Talmud and give a bracha. It's going to be the stala. There's no question, that's appropriate. But the idea of mofsin, like the Kabbalah of mofsin, that's somehow not a thing which the normal Talmudist is very open to. But on the other hand, if you want to have a mofsin, some other way, this godless Kabbalah has some kind of access which we don't have. You can't come out against it. People say, you know, I've been at weddings with certain rav from Shalayim, he gets pulled up on a cube. Why did he give? He gave a bracha. He gave a bracha that she was with college from the shidduch. And the kubim kuyim. All right. So a lot of your brachas never please. I don't. They have powers that they were also rabbanim who know apparently can see in the future. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. But apparently, there's certain rabbanim have certain powers. You can see others can't see.
How
do they get around? They must see. I don't know how they see. They see. I don't know. I don't see it. They see. No. It's a very murky issue. I can't say. I don't want to say any more than I said earlier. Yes?
What if some of us will come up for it because Tom Chacham is now more, not necessarily because it's in the future.
Absolutely.
Not to see the future, to know,
That's certainly appropriate. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he was the biggest Baal Eitz in the world. I think everyone came from all over the world to his Eitzes. I knew his Eitz was an Eitz was based on Torah. That's for sure, okay. We don't even know what the little weapon Kabul really is. If someone advertises, he acts as a shingle on the Kabul. What's Kabbalah called? It's called so. And it's inconsistent with a shingle. You know what I mean? Kabul. Oh, but Kabul coming, it's appeared in the Jewish press. But Kabul's coming to America. You know? She rubs me so much the wrong way. Kabul is a so. What does it know about? Kabul. I don't understand it. But again, something I don't understand. I don't understand. Okay. After having said that a person should not bind himself by these superstitions and things of this nature, then the Shulchan turned out and stuff says, there are those of the custom not to get married in the second half of the month. Why? It's somehow it's a bad sign. That means? Say, well, it's not nichush, it's not also an ashu, it's a simon. I'm not exactly sure what the difference between nichush and a simon is, but somehow there's some difference. The people who want to get married on Tuesday, you know, just keep talk twice the Tomish on Tuesday. People say when you go to get married, you walk like you're right foot first. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you from final experience. Right foot first. Which we do. It's hard to draw the line. It's really very difficult. It's very difficult to know. Recent Jewish history had to do with an amulet. Mm-hmm. What was I talking about? Anyone know? Which was the most, unfortunately, probably the biggest fight that we even know about in recent history between rabbis. They say it was such a bad fight that it caused an irreparable harm to the rabbis. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's right. Rabbi Yonah and Abishit and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden accused Rabbi Yonah and Emden of being a Sabbatian, of believing in Shabbat Tzvi, because in one of his amulets was some kind of, who knows what, which he interpreted to me. believe. I guess it's amulet or something which is very powerful. It really went by it. No. A long issue there. That's it. Hikaduz is very relevant, much more down to earth. Magic. Magic shows. Shulchan Aruch says, Okay the Soinayim Osim. What is Okay the Soinayim? Literally, it holds the eyes. It holds the eyes. It fools the eyes. It fools someone's eyes. That's magic. This picture of the quote, the Chokhmah Sadeh, Baal Chai Adam says, the Bat Chonin used to do this at the weddings, they're called Pashas Shpila, Orvin Belav Doraisa. And they'd pull things and, you know, make magic, and they were like, you know, man, I see it, you know, look at the crazy. They said to each other, they said Doraisa. And if you tell them to do it, you hire a Batchin, you're over the Fneiva, and you can't even look at it. This is a good. The goyish magician is alright. Because he's not one of his seven mitzvahs. And one of the biggest arguments in my shul was about this. One of some kind of a magic show years and years ago. I said, no. They went to another room, and the room said, maybe it's mutter. So I had to give in. And I was unhappy, and I was going to show she'd never given in. It was a mistake. So there are many. So we had in our youth group. Sure, they wanted to have a magician for Hanukkah. I said, no.
What is
it? They wouldn't want the Jewish magician. The Jewish magician.
So it's not us who see it, it's just us
who
do it.
Right. But it's a Jewish person, they shouldn't see it either. It's a guy, it's okay.
So
that's the problem. The simple reading is, even if it's we know that it's a fake from us. So the Rambam says, not that it's black magic, but if he fools you, what we call maravet tafulos, halos atznuah biyat, that means he's very fast with his hands. You know, these guys, but it's just, even that's also important to the Rambam. Would we argue with the Rambam? I wouldn't argue with the Rambam. Interesting. I once suspect that the Rambam is l'shitasa. We'll see later. The Rambam denies the power of magic. He doesn't believe in it, shaved him, he doesn't believe in any of this stuff. It's all bluff. So then what's the Torah prohibiting? Doesn't work. So it must be the Torah prohibiting magicians who use it with the fast-handed magicians. But the Ramban and others who argue with the Ramban and say that the Torah tells you to stay away from magic, not because it's ineffective. Because it is effective, it really does work. There is a certain co-op that magicians have. And the Torah tells you to stay away from it anyway. So according to that opinion, one could argue it's only real magic. If it's just sleight of hand, maybe we'll be able to. Perhaps, but still, if it's something the rice, I would get involved in this case. I would say it should be no magic. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
I would
like to
say something that if the magician shows everyone the tricks, and
he's not going to tell me, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Shows you how to do it. You're doing it slowly. You're doing it slowly. It's not sleight of hand anymore.
Yeah, but he'll do it, but then he'll show you afterwards how he did it.
Ready was in violation before he showed you.
Or is that the same?
Shows it first and then no one will count. So the other thing can get out of this clean. Yeah.
Well, we know that it's not a supernatural power, that he's just.
Right. The Rambam says it's awesome anyway. The Rambam says it's awesome anyway. What can I do? I can't help the Rambam. Can't help the Rambam. Okay. Kuf Pei. Sovis Kaka Kricholamis. Sovis Kaka's tattoo. You may not tattoo yourself. I don't think anyone in this room has any plans of doing it. But don't do it.
What is people? Nefesh.
Kua. Nefesh?
Yeah, they have to tattoo you, like, if you're getting radiation. They have to tattoo you that way. Yeah, the radiation technician sometimes, if you're going to get it for long term, that way they know exactly where it has to go, they tattoo you.
Cool. That means what? to write with your hand, with pen on the hands. What do you say about that? That's not tattooing. Tattooing is, if it's scratch, you put in the, you know, that color, it stays there forever. But it's not that kind of a writing. It's certainly not chayav, it's probably has to go. So I'm going to say it's also drop one. Probably would.
Is it
true that if you have a tattoo, you can't be buried in the Jewish cemetery?
No, it's
not true. Okay. Someone scratching himself because someone died, or if he pulled out his hair because someone died, he's in violation of the Torah prohibition. Pasuk Chumash. So reason for it, the Ramban writes in Chumash, and Pesach Bonim Atan Parshas Re'eh. Bonim Atan L'Hashem Elokeichem. Those is go to do. Don't scratch yourself. Those is Sibu Karkel Be'Nei. Don't pull out your hair. L'Meis when someone dies. The Ramban writes a very important thing. The Ramban writes that the reason that these prohibitions exist is because we believe in the immortality of the soul. And therefore, when someone dies, the person is not disappearing into oblivion. On the contrary, the soul ascends to a higher place. And for this reason, if we scratch ourselves and pull out our hair, if someone died, it was so disconsolate, so bewildered, and it was terrible tragedies. It's as if we don't believe in the immortality of the soul. Chas v'shalom. The kofrin tchias ha'meisim, the kofrin. So does the Buddha. That's the reason for it, says Ramban. So Ramban writes all partially on that part of Bona Mata. So Ramban writes, if that's the case. Oh, he says, that's what the Chazal tell us. We'll get to it in the very, very end of the year of this month, May, whatever it is. A person not supposed to cry too much when someone a relative dies. This is the Bona Mata cut. You're not allowed to cry too much. Aye, so why are you allowed to cry at all? So the Ramban writes, you cry not because the person disappeared to oblivion. The person went to a better place. But you can't see him anymore. That's why they cry. People who are alive, both alive, and the person goes far away, so you cry. You ever see, maybe you read about in books, when the Yiddish Imam would come to the port, somewhere to the train somewhere, or to the horse and buggy somewhere in Europe, sending a son to America, to the land of opportunity, the land of wealth, the land of riches, the land of the great things. Only one problem. She would never see him again. She was an older woman. She had no plans to ever travel to America. She thought it would be the last time she would ever see her son. She would cry like crazy.
See that at buses for every year.
That's right. That's right.
5 weeks.
That's right. That's right. Some people have sensitivity. It doesn't mean that the person's disappearing. I'm not going to see him for a year. But he's called, people go to Eretz Yisrael, go to the airport, I don't want to see anybody. So that's what he's saying. I cry for 3 days. You're not going to see the person anymore. I always remember having in my house, I remember when I left Eretz Yisrael, 1967, after spending a year in Eretz Yisrael, so my grandfather, I went to my grandparents for supper, just before I was leaving. So after we finished, my grandmother said goodbye to me, on the trip back, my grandfather, for the first time all year, never happened before, walked me down to the bus stop. The whole bias began. I can see it, I can still reach vision in my mind's eye. And the bus was about to come, and that was at the depot then. Years before those new streets there in the back. So the bus came and I wanted to go on the bus. He started to cry absolutely uncontrollably. Hissed me to cry and I was getting on the bus, I was waving, he's crying and crying and crying. Couldn't understand why he was crying. Much later I understood why he was crying. He intuited that he was never gonna see me again. Because I was have a grandson, but I was, you know, we had, you know, we had who we liked. I spent the whole year with him, you know, on and off for the Shabbos. So he liked me. You know, grandpa, what grandma doesn't like his grandchild? And he felt he wouldn't see me again. And then kaka, he lived three more years, three and a half years, but he never saw me again. I was never in Israel, he was never in America. He never saw each other again. That's why he cried. That's what they're about, that's why he cried. He wasn't crying because I was disappearing. I was, he wouldn't see me again. So someone dies. That's why crying for 3 days is appropriate. You don't scratch yourself, you don't pull out your hair, you don't cry more than 3 days. A person crying when a parent is nifted, you can't stop crying for 3 days. It's impossible. It's inevitable. You're a normal person. Your emotions will come to you after 3 days, after 3 weeks, after 3 months, after 3 years. Okay, but that's just you're allowed to shed a tear. There's nothing wrong. But not this kind of an uncontrollable cry. All right. Okay, that's Simon Kuf Pei. Now Kuf Pei Aleph. Kuf Pei Aleph is you're not allowed to shave. You're not allowed to shave what we call the Pa'as HaRosh. What's Pa'as HaRosh? There are 5 key points. No, take that one. Scratch that. Pa'as HaRosh means we pull over the payas here. The chassidim, they let the payas go like, you know, very far in the ears, they go down, they don't touch it. Talk about men now. Women are puppet from this other vision. No. The shimon have a son, the whole fight, what kind of payas you have to have, what is it? What's the halach? Seems to me the halach is quite clear that the losakifu pas rosh. Sakifu means to make a circle. We mean a circle. They used to make the build around, they're going out of it. They used to make off, they cut up over everything. Just cut it straight and make it go straight over here. All this would take it off. If it goes down, not considered a violation. How far that must it go? Big dispute. Big dispute. One of my Talmidim and Yeshiva wrote a very beautiful piece about it. They said, it's how far that must it go to avoid the Easter of Pegasus? How far down? Elvis Presley, you know, down to here? I don't think so. Some say, but we passions that go, I always thought, sort of about here, about where the little, what do you call this? The part of the ear, that's this cartilage, I think that's about somewhere around there. And I also thought you can approximate it by where the hair grows until when a child does not have a beard. So before the beard, before Bar Mitzvah, how far out of the hair go? That's the hair of the head. And that we shouldn't touch, that place. Beyond that, which grows on when the child becomes a man and starts growing a beard, is often even a change of color. I'm not sure if that color changes exactly or not, I don't remember. But some of the people who have one color for the, you ever see that? Like a brown hair and a red beard or different kinds of different shades of color. That's basically where the real divide line is, you know, again, approximately, right around here. Some of them are maple, some of them are machine. You may have known, I think that's all now, thank God. Last year, the year before, terrible rage. Mamash Kukasaka passed through the country, cut the payas here. And unfortunately, for many Shomrei Torah mitzvahs who didn't realize what's going on, they went to the barber. The barber would cut their hair like over here. Mamash cut off all their payas. Cut off the payas where it shouldn't be cut. It was a terrible thing. Is it still in flower? No. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It's all changed. It's crazy. That's what we do with Mamish, Nichshel, and Yisrael, Pace, and Minatar. Pace, Tarek. Tarek. And you're not, the person not permitted to cut off the pace of a Kata. A woman, as we said before, not included in the mitzvah. May a woman cut off the pace of a man. Aha. So Shemarov, some say she may not do that either. The fascinating Rekiv Eger over here. He doesn't understand. What's the dispute? If a woman is obligated, is prohibited to cut off the pants of a man or not. It's ridiculous. Of course she's obligated. Because it's lift naive or see the show. she is causing the man to be in violation. The man is in violation, and the woman is the cause of his violation. That's called an aveira of lift na'iver. She's putting a stumbling block in the path of the blind, and the blind, finally someone who doesn't know any better, doesn't want to do any better. That's her Mickey Vegas question. She says, tell me. No, it's not lift na'iver. It really isn't. The Gemara about the Zara, so lift na'iver is what the Gemara calls two sides of a river. What does that mean? Let's say I have non-kosher meat. Someone says, hey, pass that non-kosher meat. Throw it over the river. I throw it over. It's not for me. He could not have eaten that meat. He couldn't get to it. That's lift na'iver. He's only eating the meat because I gave it to him. It's not for me. He could never have gotten it. Lift na'iver. It's chayiv and denara. We're both the same side of the river. Say, hey, pass the meat. And if I wouldn't have passed it, he could walk over two steps to get it himself. There's no violation of the Tehiv in that case. Still, this is the Rambam Kivehege, but then Issa the Rabbana, the rabbinical is called Misayeya Laovre Aveir. You're helping someone perform an Aveir. Even though they could have done it without you, still a violation. So the question becomes, since you're prohibited anyway, what's the difference if a woman is Mitzuba, not Mitzuba? Completely irrelevant. There's Rambam Kivehege, an incredible, incredible answer. Listen carefully. A man is sitting there with a scissors, a razor. He's about to cut off his pants. The woman walks by. She's required to take the scissor out of his hand, and she should cut off his pants. How can that be? She is causing him to be in violation of what we call the Isra of Nikah, of having his pants cut. The answer, says the Rabbi Kivager, is there are two prohibitions for a man. To cut and to be cut. Follow me? To cut off the payas is one prohibition, and to have your payas cut even by a Gentile barber is an additional prohibition. So if the woman would not have intervened, then the man would have been in violation of two prohibitions. Cutting and being cut. He's cutting his own pay. Shlomo Zalman has a very big kiddush in this regard.